get swarm out, and they do get to turn out on the picket line.
Well, they can do without it, just the same. And we've a hell of a lot to support. A lot to support.
The threat was also being ignored at the nearby Strike Control Centre, which is financed locally by the NUM. They're continuing to organise daily picketing, even though cash is now tighter than ever.
It won't affect us at all, or very, very little, because each area has their own funds. It's the national fund that's going to be frozen, so as far as we're concerned, it's business as usual.
So, life goes on as normal here?
Yeah.
The pickets continue,
we carry on going out and doing our little bit. Tell with the course as far as I'm concerned.
The pickets are now allowing some coal to move, but to needy pensioners only. They're looking after their own as the NUM leadership continues the main battle. All senior NUM staff are now in London. Those who remain here at Union Headquarters in Sheffield say that although confused about what they're entitled to do now and whether they should be spending any of the union's money, work is carrying on as normal. Terry Lloyd, News at 1, Sheffield.
Well, in an hour's time, the NUM executive meets in London before the special delegate conference decides the next moves in the dispute. More than 100 rank and file delegates will be there. It was they who first sanctioned the strike. Industrial editor Giles Smith assesses the options open to them.
There are those in the NUM executive, and there'll be some among rank and file delegates this afternoon, who want the NUM to obey the law. A minority, like the Leicestershire leader Jack Jones, for the simple reason that they don't believe in breaking the law. But a larger number believe they simply can't afford to go on trying to ignore the law, and that by skillful use of the courts, they can retain their funds. They've seen the Prince Union, the NUM.
For the 200 or so children of striking miners from the nearby Littleton Colliery.
No.
Sweets and stocking fillers, results of weeks of work by the wives and supporters, were simply dumped out of a first floor window into the rear yard. Expensive typewriters and office equipment were ignored. Only the presents were damaged, and the only goods stolen were items which were being sold to provide more funds for the Christmas appeal for the strikers' children.
The things that they've gone for is the children's toys that we've collected for Christmas. There were other things there that they could have done, you know, but it all seemed to be named at the children's presents.
Now the strikers' wives are left with the task of literally picking up the pieces, but they say it won't affect their intention to give their children the best Christmas they can in the circumstances, despite someone's intention to stop them.
A 3-foot metal spike has been thrown from a bridge onto a cardboard van. It happened near Chesterfield in North Derbyshire. The spike pierced the roof of the van, but the driver and his mate escaped unhurt. And still with a pit dispute, miners' food parcels from the West Midlands are said to have been injected with acid. Striking miners in South Wales have been warned the parcels have been poisoned in retaliation for the death of the taxi driver David Wilkie. The claim was made in an anonymous call to a newspaper. Two youths were hurt when an explosion wrecked a cafe in Birmingham. Firemen were called to the Continental Cafe.
Believe that when Mr. Scargill called union members on strike without letting them vote, he was breaking the law, and the strike was not official. They went to court, and the court agreed with them. As punishment, Mr. Scargill and the union were fined, but refused to pay. So the court took stronger measures. They ruled that all the money belonging to Mr. Scargill's union, the National Union of Mine Workers, should be taken away from them for the time being. That amounted to millions of pounds, but much of it had already been moved to banks in other countries, like Luxembourg, for instance. The case then took another twist at the weekend. It involves this man, Mr. Herbert Brewer. He's a lawyer, and the court decided that he should be in charge of everything the miners' union owns, and not its leaders, like Mr. Scargill. This morning, Mr. Brewer went to Luxembourg to get some of the union's money back, but the bank wouldn't let him in. While in London, Mr. Scargill and the miners are working out their next move. If they apologise to the court and pay the fine, they'll be allowed to take charge of all the union's money again. But if they do come to that decision, people will say that they're admitting the strike is not official and agreeing with the court's ruling of 2 months ago.
Two men who took part in Britain's biggest ever robbery were each jailed for 25 years at the Old Bailey in London today.
Michael Blower.
Right.
What's that? The Tamura parachute of the last one. No, you don't know.
Wear a disguise of some kind. So the way you got hit, and see what happens if he gets hit. What I'm saying is, when a man is a recognised figure, the police know him. If he's going on a picket line, he's going to be disguised. Let him go on as a nobody. And see what happens if violence hits him. And see how his reaction his reaction is. You've had it here without you there with anything. This would be great, not to us though. They won't come to speak to us. And this is where the Labour Party has fallen down. They are not speaking to the people. They speak above the people. No, the Labour Party was formed by the NUM. We made the Labour Party. A lot of our MPs are paid, were put through school, through the NUM and the co-op people. That was NUM. That started through the NUM. Because they didn't have much money, so they all joined together and they bought stuff in bulk to sell it at a low price. But we put all them people through school. Where are they now? They're the silent people. No, they should be speaking out volumes for us. But they aren't.
I don't know how it's there in the future. It will be a bit different in the relation with the Labour Party.
The Labour Party.
Will people stop voting?
Yes, they're doing it now. This is why Thatcher got back in this day.
Because the Labour Party's in a mess. Because the alliance, alliance had broken off and formed a great party. A lot of votes went with them because they thought their beliefs were true Labour. The Labour Party was in tatters. It was in a mess. Thatcher got in again. And now people realise, if she gets in again, I'm going. I'm packing my bags. I'm going abroad. To get some depression around here.
I can remember one morning then, so nearly. I think it was that morning. Them spikes on the road, when John Golding come up. George Cairns brought John Golding up. Well, he was at the main gate again. He stopped there. He used to have a fire there, and there was a chair there. He sat on that chair. He was nodding off to sleep. The police horses were down the back, man mowing people down.
That's right.
He should have been down where the action was, not sitting by the fire, nodding off. He was literally nodding off to sleep. That's a Labour MP.
I ended up with this.
Because he's on his, 13th hour year? No. Then he gets, I think, 6,500 allowance for a secretary, an allowance for housing in London for a flat, which is very expensive. They're made. You know what I mean? They're getting lots of readies in the hands. And lots of freebies.
Our Newcastle MP, which is John Golding, the one we're referring to, last time the elections were on, he got in by a majority of 2,000. Next time he's going to have great difficulty keeping his seat in Newcastle after this lot. Not only by us, but by people who've been objecting to what little bit of help they have given us. He's turning them against us anyway. And plus people are sorry they wouldn't want. Then again, I shall have to vote, I shall. You know, because there's no alternative to me. You know, but a lot of people won't see it that way.
And John Golden, when he started off, he had a 26,000 majority.
Yeah.
Ellen, you've told us something about a dinner. There were some people...
Robert.
It was just saying about McGregor.
McGregor.
What do you know about McGregor?
McGregor, McGregor? At 73. Yeah. The unions fought for a retiring age of 65. So, you know, you've worked all your life, 65, retire with a pension, with a nice house, and that's it. Just sit in the garden all day. At 73, it makes a mockery of the trade union laws. He's been brought in at a cost of, how much is it? A million?
Millions.
I think he's paid a million.
Plus a bonus on top.
Plus a bonus on top. Now that can either find 40 jobs for 10 years or something. Or, you know, it can be put to much better use.
The history of McGregor. 1939, Second World War. McGregor emigrated from Scotland, took all his money to America. He didn't want to fight for his country. He wanted to go to America where it was safe. So why should that man have the right to come and tell us we are unpatriotic and don't give a damn about our country when we are the country? This is our country, not his. He left it, we haven't.
He's a puppet for the government, McGregor is. So he is.
Well, you told us about something that happened in Cuba between Scargill and McGregor.
No, that was... Is that the lobby?
No, McGregor owns pits in America. And what he's after is, if the pits go private, you can guarantee the big firms will be the American firms that buys it. And you've seen it in Holland when they bought your firms in. They've used them for so long to take the rich pickings off them. Then they've closed them down, transferred the money back to America again. And the same thing could happen in England, where we'd be left with very few colonies, and we'd have to import coal from America, which could be McGregor's colonies. So really,
private interests.
Yes. American big companies. You can see the state that America's in through the mines. When a man who owns his mines will get his own security guards to shoot his miners, what sort of man is he?
He does that in America.
He did that in America.
He's got a lot of
just miners who were picketing.
Miners who were on strike.
Well, there are a lot of the big syndicates owning the mafia in most of major industries over in America. It's all the big syndicates, and if you step out of line, you know, who cares if you go missing? There's always someone else who wants a job.
When, at what time was it? When happened? When
75.
Yeah, 75. Mid 70s.
75. There's a tape going, there's a video in Holland going around now. It shows all of that violence, and it shows the men shooting them. If you see Lean, he's got it.
Yes? I've only seen one once about the long American strike.
That's the one.
It's Harlan County.
That's the one.
Is that the one?
That's the one.
That's good. Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Harlan County. Yeah. He showed you the man who pulls his gun and kills him, and he wasn't prosecuted.
McGregor was the man who headhunted Michael Edwards in John Kennedy Airport in New York, is it John Kennedy Airport? For the job for British Leyland. Michael Edwards used to be the chairman of British Leyland. McGregor was on the board at the time, and he headhunted him for that job. That's I think that was where he first started, wasn't it?
Started British Leyland, moved on to British Steel.
Yes. And he bought for what he did there.
Yeah, he was the hatchet man. He killed the steel industry off, and now he's having to go with the mines. After the mines will be the railways.
Is that
that's McGregor.
No, is that you know that?
It's fact.
That's fact. It's his next job.
100,000 jobs, British Steel, in what, 3 years, he axed.
He made promises and broke every promise he made.
He was promising 26,000
that they were getting 12. During this dispute. And they broke the agreement, didn't they, George? About crossing picket lines?
Oh, about crossing picket lines, yeah.
They broke the agreement, but by rights, Maycott should have walked out then. But they wouldn't. They were bought off. It's the tactics, it's the American tactics they're using. The power of the pound.
And everybody knows.
Yeah. Money talks. Go anywhere with money.
If all the single lids, if they started to be working at Silverdale, or I mean, you two are single lids and you're still on strike, but are there other single lids still on strike? Or?
No, a lot of them are working.
A lot?
Yeah, simple reason, they want a big flashy car, the latest fashions. Yeah. And because all the mates who aren't in the coal mining industry have got them, they sort of drop out of the circle. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So a lot of them go in for that. They look like the 17, 18 year olds.
I think there's only 10 or 12 of those single ones now.
10 or 12 of them?
I think so.
50 or something.
Single men who are on strike now?
No.
I had me on last Thursday, there's a knock on the door, and it's my partner I work with, and he's only, well, he recently got married, but he's sold his car, and, well, his wife's supporting him, and, you know, 100%, I thought he'd gone back to work. Poor Francis, he's still at them, he's at till the end, it was pretty good. I still have a working partner when I go back, Paul Francis. Dick Francis.
It's 9 months now, you forget him, don't you?
You see your friends from then? Is that where
you see a few of them who you will talk to, and a lot of them are. It'll be principle why you won't talk to. You'll have Silverdale, you'll have one group who are working, and then you'll have the rest of us who are too thick-skinned to go back. And then we'll be in one little section of the pit, and that'll be it.
I mean, the people you've got on strike now, it's very unlikely as they'll go back to work now, after this length of time, you know. And the ones feel as strong as we do, it's down to the hardcore now. I think it's very unlikely as anybody who's out now will go back. What do you think, George? I think the people who are out till the end now. I shouldn't think any more of us will be
doing.
If we were going to go back, we'd have gone back about 3 weeks ago, because we qualified for the back holiday pay. I mean, I've resigned myself to the fact that I'm going to have a poor Christmas, because mum and dad look after me, but I just won't be able to buy any presents, or have as many hangovers as I'd like to. But there's next Christmas. If you win, there's next Christmas. Christmas after. You know what I mean? Next time.
What happens after your 1 year and one day when you can get sacked?
It's
just because you're on strike for 1 year.
It's 15 months.
It's 15 months. Well, that's a 12
on strike. There's none.
The gun thing.
I heard a rumour that it was 12 months. And then I heard it was 15, if that's the case.
The only time we're sacked is when you run off blood out of the bench to continue working.
Yeah.
And you're sacked. So we don't know why we're running off.
We've been setting on at Silverdale, new faces. Yeah. They haven't put that in the press. The Libyan business. I think they've got, they said the NUM, links with Gaddafi. I mean, great headline for them, sells papers. They don't say they've got a couple of Libyans students down at, is it Lee Hall?
Yes.
With the NCB are training. Do you know what I mean? They didn't put that in. And yet we got, Scargill loves Gaddafi.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't say that the National Coal Board is taking about 14,000 off Gaddafi to train a couple of lads to operate mines over there, or be geological bloody engineers or something.
Computers and that one, do not train or anything.
Or something like that.
That's where the story comes from that.
Apparently, one of Scargill's, one of the national executive, went over to Libya to have talks with the unions over there. Well, it showed you the union guy, you know, embracing Gaddafi. You know, someone must have had a little hidden camera somewhere, like the CIA or something, clipped him. And then it's in the newspapers the next day with the story that, you know, Libya's, yeah.
It's the same when they said that Addis Ababa was
just on the one picture.
It's like I said earlier on, the papers print what is going to sell a newspaper, because that's all they're interested in. It's probably the same, you know, in Holland. I mean, if you've got some sort of trashy story, they'll put it in big print because it'll sell papers. People want it.
It's also policy. It's not only for making money, but it's policy.
Yeah. But what do you do? No, I'm in no position to say, okay, you're not printing that, that and that. You know, let's print the serious stuff like famines in Ethiopia and unemployment.
Yeah.
You know, but that won't sell a paper. Sensationalism, that's what they're after, all the time.
You're going to Amsterdam within a few weeks. What do you expect from the groups there? What are you going to do there?
I don't know really. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a break.
Yeah.
You know, if nothing else, it'll be a welcome break.
Yeah.
What, it's a holiday. I missed out this year.
I don't have to go to meetings.
No problem.
Yeah, it was better off there. What do you think about now? What about contacts with other countries, groups?
I'm all for it because I think it's happening all over the place, all over the world. Do you know what I mean? You're getting certain groups or certain governments. I mean, they've made a mess in France, Mitterrand, you know?
Yeah.
After the support he got when he was elected. I think he had all the country's youth behind him because he was going to slash this, slash that, make everyone rich. And it was in tatters after 12 months. So you've got to struggle over there now. I'm all for it. I think I think it's really good.
But like in Holland, with a group that tries to support you, do you know something about groups in other countries? Maybe
no.
Germany?
No, I've not heard anything.
No, can't say. Yeah.
All the Australians.
Now that I found.
Yeah, the Australian Union has they've sent us money.
Yeah.
And they
don't want it. They have a boycott of
coal.
It was a British colony.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It's the only union, you know.
We set it up.
The only union you know about in other countries that supports
them. I think so, yeah. I don't know of any other.
No.
No one from Solidarity in Poland?
Not that I know of.
But you've helped them when they were...
I did support them, yeah, because I live at Kiel, there's a university there, and there's a lot of action groups up there.
Yeah.
But I supported Solidarity. I thought it was good. So it was just a mass of people just uniting. And it showed you what the government thought of it. They smashed them. They jailed them. Wouldn't give them a right to appeal. Not a fair hearing. And so if we put them in jail long enough, they'll just quieten down after 2 years. We'll let them out on good behaviour. I thought, for Elsa, I thought, the man wants a gold medal.
Yeah, and the people of Poland have sent us money. What's his name? Lech Wałęsa. He's opposed to us. Lech Wałęsa, that's a Solidarity leader, as you know. He's opposed to us. I don't know
who has gone out and collected the money, but we have had, well, National have had money from Poland, from out in the streets and what have you. But who's organised it, I don't know.
But there's also coal coming from Poland too.
Yeah. Well, the Polish coal miners are opposed to us.
They're opposed?
Yeah, because, Matt might tell you better, but they follow the, like Valencia, don't they?
Well, what I've heard about the Polish coal is because Poland owes the world so much in, because it's that much in debt, they can't pay you in hard currency, so they pay you in goods as well. So what Poland's got a lot of is coal. So instead of saying, okay, you owe us a million from an IMF loan, they send over a few shiploads of coal, you know, which is, well, it's wrong. I mean, if you borrow cash, you should pay it back. But then again, I mean, that's just, I suppose it's good trading. It's been going on since the early trading ships. Instead of paying in cash, you trade goods.
And there's coal from South Africa coming in. And EEC. Also the United Nations, they want boycott South Africa. But the English government, what do they think about the boycott?
English government?
Huh? English government?
They're against it, simply.
But the people in... most people in England, what do they think about South Africa?
The anti-apartheid people.
What?
The anti-apartheid, you know.
About the boycott
thing. Yeah, because of the apartheid.
I think it's silly, to be quite honest. I think it's so that, I mean, yeah, the white man had the colour guy as the slave, because so that everyone's equal. I mean, it's not the colour of the skin, it's the personality what matters. Because a lot of my friends, they're all from Nigeria, all at Kiel, and to me it's as if they're a brother, you know what I mean? I get on well with them, but a lot of people, they see someone who's coloured, and straight away in the mind, it's a case of, I don't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. The mind's made up because they've been brainwashed.
We've had a lot of contact with the South African coal mines. A lot of contact, a lot of letters, and a lot of money from South Africa. Coal and gold miners from South Africa. We've got letters. Well, they've read made today union meetings from South Africa. I don't know if you've been there when you've read them.
Next question.
What's the perspective of someone on Dole in this area or in England?
Bleak. I went down to the job centre today. I used to go down every day, beginning of the strike, done it for about 5 months. And it just depressed me in the end. And there's just nothing there. Well, there are jobs there, but they'll say, you know, 40 hour week and they'll pay you 35 quid. After you've paid tax or something, you're left with about 20 quid.
See, people on our dole, I think they get £26 a week, and
yeah.
They get paid fortnightly, you know. Well, there are jobs about. We tell you make something like £10 a week better off for going to work for 5 days. So it doesn't make sense, does it? To go to work for £10 extra.
A lot of firms.
The type of jobs what are about, you know.
A lot of firms are behind the youth training scheme. You know what I mean? The youth training scheme. School leave is 16 to 18. Yeah. When they leave school, they can get a job and they're doing the man's work for a boy's pay. And when they're 18, you know, well, we've not got a job for you because you're told at the start that if you're good, we'll keep you on after the certain period. And when they come to it, they go, I'm sorry, we can't offer you another job. And then they go straight back to the job centre and get someone else. So you're sort of the dole queue. You know, every 6 months plus one.
The youth opportunity scheme.
It's for CAID, what they hide behind.
They get the same money, It's what they would if they were on the dole. Yeah. With the prospect, well, hope of keeping that job afterwards. But if they say no, they don't want that, stop the dole.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if they had offered it, they've got to take it.
Yeah.
For the dole money, you know. Yeah. For the, exactly the same money. There's people on the dole now, same as him there, if they had on. He's on the dole.
Yeah.
He's working the pit.
Yeah.
Prospects of people like him getting a job are virtually impossible. Unless something happens in the next 10 years, you know.
Yeah.
The world assassin, as they call it, suddenly alters, you know, because there's people on the dole now who never have a job.
If you got Manchester, Leeds, like the old, where the old sort of cotton industry and all the mills, you've got factories about four times the size of this building, and they're just empty with toilet signs on outside, and it's depressing. You see rows and rows of houses, and there's no future. Once every week, go and sign on, collect the money. I mean, they say we get 15 quid a week to live on. I pay my mother £13 a week to keep me. I've not paid that for 9 months. I've got to pay her back.
What's that?
I mean, so if I was only getting 15 quid a week off the state and I was giving my mother 13, where does £2 go?
Yeah.
3 pints and a bar of chocolate, you know what I mean? I agree. No good.
But what you would do if the strike, let's hope it's not going to happen, but if the strike is going to be lost, what the people
will do? The only thing we could hope for is to prepare for another day.
Another day.
Same as working.
No, lost the strike.
Yeah.
Another time for the strike.
Yeah.
Same as, keep our, before the strike we had an overtime ban, which was losing thousands and thousands of tons of coal every week. The only thing we could do is keep that on for maybe another 12 months and have another go then.
The only other solution I see is there's an overtime ban, right?
Yeah.
You work 7 3/4 hours a day,
yeah.
Right? Now if you wish, you can do an hour more,
yeah.
Right? For more pay.
Yeah.
So, for our union at first, when this dispute started, they called a national overtime ban, which meant you couldn't work any extra hours, right, for the extra pay.
Yeah.
Well, you lose production if you do that, because another hour is another hour of drawing coal, which is more money for the coal board, you know. So you withdraw it, and they're not getting that extra little bit.
And plus men come on early in the morning.
Yeah.
And finish early, and then come on later.
Yeah.
So the coal is very rarely stopping.
Yeah.
You know.
But with an overtime ban, production stops for at least 2 hours, and then you've got all your safety checks, and then start again. You're losing thousands of tons by it.
Yeah.
And that was brought on to bring pressure, and that didn't work. So we had to go on strike. If we do lose the strike, you know. Hopefully you don't, you know, you may be optimistic or pessimistic, one or two. But it's a case of, I think we'd have to wait until the rest of the country saw that what we were doing is the right thing, and then hopefully all the working people in the country band together, and then just down the tools and make the power that be see sense.
See, people said to us, why did you go on strike during the summer?
Yeah.
So on the 6th of March, with that, the proposal plan for them, 20 pits. Well, the first five it was then. Well, if we had left that until this time of year when it's coming cold, those five would have been closed anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we had to make a stand then.
Yeah.
Although it wasn't the right time.
It was clever by the board.
It was the right time because they've used up all the stocks, so they're running short for winter, which is the right time. It's wrong on pensioners. I mean, if they can't get the coal, because no one likes to see the old being hurt in any dispute, really. But I think it was the right time for the strike.
At Cottonwood, we talked with one striker, and he said, even if Margaret Thatcher is is agreeing with all the demands of you. He will not believe it. He thinks that after a few months she will make it into pieces.
I can well believe that. It's a possibility, yeah. And easily believes that, definitely.
Yeah, she can try to break the strength of her striking versus, and then a few months later she come back again.
Once they've broken the back of the working class in the country, she'll just go about doing it, because it's all she's interested in is money.
It's money, money,
make
money.
A profit at the end. Yeah. That's it. Aren't we all?
Yeah.